devices as we listen to Lonnie play for prayer.
Thank you, Lonnie. That was a beautiful way to start our worship service. Good morning again, and welcome to First Christian Church. We are happy to have you here. If you are a first-time visitor, please make sure to fill out the information on the friendship sheet, pass it down the aisle and back. We would like those of you who are members and have been here before to fill it out as well, but we also certainly want to make sure that we get the information from visitors today. We have a few announcements. First couple things, on your calendar, it says next week there is summer Sunday school. That is actually over, but at 9 o'clock next week, we will be having an information meeting regarding the possibility of calling an associate pastor. Is that going to be down in the fellowship hall? Okay. So please be here at 9 o'clock next week. I think that will be a very good conversation, looking at the future of our church. In 2 weeks, we have Worship on the Mountain, and the day before is VBS. I know that there are still opportunities for you to sign up both to help and to get your children registered, so please check with Joan McNamara, correct? All right. And then that afternoon, we're going to be having a barbecue, and those who would like to can certainly camp out on the mountain that night and or already be up there for worship. You'll be early. So we hope to see you then again on the 28th. And on the 29th. Let's see, do we have anything else that I need to bring up? The early bird registration for our regional assembly, which is going to be hosted right here, has been extended until today. So if you can get your registration information in, you can get discounted. Also, if you would like to serve as a volunteer here, there is a discount available for that as well. And there are all kinds of opportunities to be able to volunteer. So just read your yellow sheet, anything that you might be interested in. And if you'd like to be a voting delegate, you can speak to Linda Mosteller, standing in the back, waiting to hear from you. Do we have any voting delegates yet? No. You can put me down. So there's one. You're welcome. Okay, so we need two more voting delegates. They have to be willing to attend the business session on that Saturday, but it's not going to be hours and hours, right, host? Okay. Just want to make sure on that. No, but the business of the church is very important. So if you're attending, please prayerfully consider whether you'd like to be a voting delegate. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Joan. Just don't pop up in the middle of the sermon when you remember it, okay? Yeah. She'll be waxing eloquently, and you'll pop up and go, pipe cleaners, and people will. All right. Yes, Paul. Both of those were on Friday. I think we can. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ed and Wanda. Happy birthday to you. Congratulations, Ed. It is always good to see you in church, especially celebrating your birthday. Okay. If there are no other announcements, please get ready to sing our opening hymn, number 157, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 after we take a moment to meet and greet each other. Did I say 517? Or? Anyway, look it up. Jeez.
I have to tell you everything?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
me when to go.
Please join me in the call to worship. O God of mystery, you make plans for eternity.
We are your finite people who live day by day.
May it be our inheritance to step into your infinite way.
Beyond human finding, you call us to live and follow Christ.
May this time of worship bring us closer to you. Please join me in prayer. Lord, you truly are divine love, excelling all other loves that we could possibly imagine. We ask to see your great salvation, and we ask to see it restored in your Son. And yet there are times when we do not live as if we want to see that salvation. Please take away the hardness and the bitterness, the anger and the frustrations in our hearts. Help us to be pure for you so that we are willing, able, and worthy of celebrating that great salvation. We ask this in the name of your Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to as it was.
seated. Our hymn of praise today is number 595, verses 1 and 3, Be Thou My Vision. Our children's sharing time this morning is with Miss Joan, and she always is very creative and has something for the kids. I'm not going to tell you.
No, I know.
Need this? Do I need this? Oh, whoa. Okay. I want you to repeat after me. I want to clap my hands.
I'm going to clap my hands.
We're good. I want to stomp my feet.
I want to stomp my feet.
I want to pound on a drum.
I want to pound on a drum.
Now this one is this one is a little different. You're going to climb a tree. So you're going to say, I want to climb a tree.
I want to climb a tree.
Whee!
Whee!
Can you do that? Okay, music, please. Oh, this is fun. I love Children of God. Can't you tell? Okay, with music. Cut.
He gives us bread so we can
cut. But she couldn't see me. Okay. The words are, I am so free because the Father loves me. Father what?
Father loves me.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
I did. Does the Father love you?
I hope so.
Okay. With freedom comes responsibility. It means we just can't do whatever we want. Right? Oh? Peg, I love you. With freedom comes responsibility, which means that, you know, if we want to steal something, we know better than to do that. If we want to hurt someone with our words or actions, we know better. And why do we know better? I believe that it's said in Micah 6, which I believe is your mission statement, which happens to be one of my most favorite verses. And when I was teaching Sunday school and confirmation, I would tell the children, burn this in your brain, burn it in your heart. Do justice, seek kindness. Did I get it
love
right?
Kindness.
What?
Go on.
Do justice, seek kindness, and walk humbly with God. Now, Jesus put it in another way. Anybody know what that is?
Do unto others as you would have them
do. Do unto others, the great commandment. So when we do this song up on the mountain, I want you to remember that each of us as a child of God has a responsibility to walk in the ways of Christ. Amen.
Thank you,
Joan. Oh, let's
take
a prayer.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Gracious Son.
Gracious Son.
Living Spirit.
Living Spirit.
Empower us.
Empower us.
To walk in your ways.
To walk in your ways.
To do as you would have us do.
To do as you would have us do.
To say things that you would have us say.
To say things that you would have us say.
And always walk in your love.
And always walk in your love.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you,
children. Well, you all can come. So you all can be seated, and our youngest children can go with Joan for worship and wonder. Trisha's going to lead them today. They're still continuing to learn the Lord's Prayer in sign language. And we're thankful for Jennifer Grooms filling in the nursery this morning. If you would turn to the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns of the congregation. And as we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you and write a note to someone who needs a word of encouragement. We often have a card shower for a person who is struggling or in need. This morning we have a card shower for someone who's doing great. Our card shower is for Wanda Leeling. We are so thankful to Wanda for all of the times that she has coordinated bereavement dinners and receptions. And there'll be a reception again tomorrow afternoon. Roger Miller's graveside service is at 2. Following that, the family and friends will come back to the church for a reception and a time of visitation. And we're just thankful, Wanda, for the leadership that you give to that important ministry. I know that Darlene shares in it with you and many others, but you've done it so faithfully for so many years. Darlene's in charge tomorrow, so if anyone wants to help, call Darlene Bishop. We continue to pray for those who are living with cancer. Many folks are listed on our prayer list this morning. Among them is Dave Baker, who lives in Washington. Rick Black and his wife Terry recently went to visit Dave. They had a wonderful time together just to connect as old friends through the years and across the miles. There are many who have health concerns. We want to hold them all in prayer. Wanda is doing so well, and we're thankful for that. Trisha Nichols is recovering from knee surgery. Please pray for healing for her. Our Sandwich volunteers have asked for prayers for a local veteran named Don, who there was an incident where he was threatened with violence and from the public library. He handled it well and did not respond in kind. But oftentimes the people that we meet at the Sandwich Ministry, because they live in a way on the margins of society, even here in Casper, the homeless and the hungry, they struggle with situations that we may not encounter on a normal basis. So our Sandwich volunteers have asked for prayers for peace for all those touched by that ministry. Our regional prayer partners this morning are those involved in a new congregational start in Denver, the Pacific Islander Fellowship, worshiping in different languages with folks from different nationalities who have found their way to Denver and share a heritage of Pacific Island nationalities. Are there other concerns this morning, joys that we want to share, names we need to add to our prayer list? Becky. Prayers for little Levi in China, who turns 5 years old today. His mommy and daddy are so excited to still be on the journey for him coming home. So we pray that Levi has a good birthday today. Anyone else this morning? Just in case you couldn't hear, Delilah had eye surgery on both eyes a month ago, and she's doing so well. Her eye surgeon doesn't have to see her again unless she just wants to go visit. So that is great, great news. We are so happy that she's doing well and her vision continues to improve. What a blessing. Any other news this morning to share? Of course, we continue to pray for all of those affected by natural disasters, by wildfires, for those struggling in different ways in the world. I would invite you now to hold these prayers and the own concerns and joys of your heart up to the Lord as we share a moment of sacred silence. O good and gracious God, we are all your children. You bless us with the gift of life itself. We give you thanks and praise, Holy One, for the world in which we live, for the universe you have made, for this planet we call home, for the beauty of nature around us, the gift of sun and rain. A wonderful creator, we pray for those who this day in their souls have either sun or rain, who have spiritual storms to weather or calm seas to sail. Lord, we ask you to be present with each one. We pray for health and strength for our sister Wanda, even as we give thanks for her faithful service to you through all the years. We pray for healing for Tricia Nichols as she continues to recover from surgery. And God, we rejoice with Delilah's family that you are restoring her vision. We thank you for successful surgery on both eyes and for the strong recovery she is making. Lord, we pray for little Levi, who today is celebrating his fifth birthday in an orphanage in China. We rejoice, O God, that this little one has a home waiting for him here with Phil and Becky in Casper. Lord, we pray for Levi that this day might be filled with joy and that his journey coming home will continue to unfold in your timing with many blessings along the way. We pray for peace, O God, for all those who are touched by the sandwich ministry, for volunteers and recipients alike, and the community that is formed each Saturday morning when those who are hungry humbly receive food to be fed. God, we pray specifically for a veteran named Don and the struggle that he went through this week. We pray for all of those who feel misunderstood by society. We pray for those who instead of kindness from a stranger, receive violence from a neighbor. Lord, we ask that you would help us as the church to bear witness to peace and justice in your world, that all of us, your children of all ages, would indeed love kindness and seek justice and walk humbly with you, our God. Lord, we pray for Magdalene Rodriguez and the work being done among missionaries around the world and with the church in Nicaragua. We give thanks for the successful rescue of the soccer team that was trapped in a cave in Thailand, and we pray for peace for the family of the diver who lost his life in the rescue process. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the members of the Pacific Islander Fellowship in Denver, and all of those who are on the journey of starting new churches. O good and gracious God, The gift of faith is our inheritance from previous generations. May we be wise stewards of this precious gift and pass it on to our children and grandchildren, our neighbors and co-workers, to all the world, that others might know the love we share in you, O Christ, in whose name we pray and we live. Amen.
One of the benefits of traveling to places that you know is being able to go to favorite restaurants. While Cindy was in southern New Mexico, she got to go to her favorite Mexican restaurant in Old Mesilla. That past weekend, I was in Denver and went to one of my favorite breakfast places that has incredible corned beef hash. And I think corned beef hash is one of those things, either you like it or you don't. I like it. And they do it really well. I can drive you to my favorite pizza place in Phoenix, to my favorite fresh seafood place in San Diego. I think all of us have those experiences, and when we get to travel, we're like, yes, I get to go back to this. We're talking about a trip to Central Illinois, back to where Cindy was serving before we came here for a wedding, and we're disappointed because we found out that the local Italian place that we always used to go is closed. That being said, we are privileged every week to be able to come to this table. We don't have to drive very far. We certainly don't have to put in a whole lot of effort, certainly not the amount of effort that Jesus had to put in for us to be able to come to this table every week. And so as we enjoy the benefits of communion, of being able to share in God's body and blood, remember that this was a sacrifice. And what do we need to do to be worthy of that? As we've been doing all summer, we're having communion by intention. Please come up the center aisle, put your offerings and your tithes and prayer cards in the trays. You will be either able to take from the juice and dip the bread, or be able to take from a tray. Correct? We're still doing the trays? Great. Okay. Our hymn of communion is 393, One Bread, One Body.
We are one body in the Lord. Wherever we travel on our life's journey, this table is for us home. And so we come to sit with our Lord, to dine with him, indeed, on his body itself. We recall that night when he met with his friends in the upper room, and while they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life and death. We remember his resurrection and celebrate our faith until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
God, who lays down your life for us, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, who lived to show us how to live and who died that sin and death would die with him. We thank you for this bread and cup that serve to remind us of that. As we take the bread and cup, fill us with your Spirit to empower us to lay down our lives in service to all. Let us know your love by living it out. In the name of Jesus, our Christ, amen.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Lord, we are so thankful to be one body in you,
our one Lord. Please take these humble gifts and use them to further your kingdom throughout Casper and to the ends of the earth. Amen.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. Now I'm happy with the Lord. Just a plain and simple chapel where humble people go to pray. I pray the Lord that I'll grow stronger as I live from day to day. I've searched, but I couldn't find no way on earth to gain peace of mind. Now I'm happy in the chapel where people are of one accord. Yes, we'll gather in the chapel just to sing and praise the Lord. You'll search, but you'll never find no way on earth to gain peace of mind. Take your troubles to the chapel. Get down on your knees and pray. Then your burdens will be lighter, and you'll surely find the way.
Now we'll all participate in this reading this morning. If you'll turn in your hymn, in your chalice praise, to page 735, then we'll all read together. We'll first hear the response and then we'll read. Is the Lord's and all that is in it.
The world and those who live in it.
For God has founded it on the seas
and established it on the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in God's holy place?
Those who have clean hearts, hands, and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation.
Such is the company of those who seek God, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
The earth is the God's, and the fullness of all, the world and its people. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors.
That the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates.
And be lifted up, O ancient doors. That the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Amen. The earth is God's, and the fullness of all, the world and its people, the great and the small. Thank you.
Our second reading today comes to us from the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. You'll find it in your Pew Bible and New Testament section on page 192. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Janice, for that gift of music. What a blessing you are to us by sharing your voice. And thank you, Lonnie, for playing today, for continuing to share during the summer and bringing music. Would you pray with me? O Lord, from the generations before us, we have inherited the gift of your word. It teaches us through today's reading the most important inheritance of all, the gift of redemption in Christ. As we ponder this great and precious gift, may your Spirit stir our hearts so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, as well as the actions of our lives, might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The lectionary this summer is taking us through several different epistles in the New Testament. There are 13 epistles or letters in the New Testament traditionally attributed to Paul. Recently, we've heard from 1 and 2 Corinthians. Of those 13 letters that are identified with Paul's name within them, scholars converse about whether or not Paul actually wrote them all. 8 of the letters are uncontested. Everyone agrees that definitely it was the work of Paul. 5 of the remaining letters, some scholars think may have been written by Paul, or they may have been written by a scribe, by a colleague of Paul, by another contemporary in the life of the early church who was claiming Paul's authority. Ephesians is one of those 5 that some scholars think Paul wrote and some scholars think someone else wrote but put Paul's name on it. The important thing for us is to know that it is a part of the canon of Scripture and has teaching and wisdom that we might learn from and be spiritually guided by. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So begins verse 3. In the Greek, today's reading, from verse 3 all the way to verse 14 in chapter 1 of Ephesians, is one sentence. I'm thankful that most English translators find different ways to kind of break it up. You at least get to take a breath along the way. It's a little less problematic in the Greek than in the English just because of the structure of the language. But if you can remember way back to grammar school, your English teacher probably wasn't too thrilled if you wrote a run-on sentence that kept going and going. You'd have an idea, you'd put a comma, add an and keep on writing. Well, that seems to be kind of the gist of this message. It is one entire thought, one entire passage from 3 to 14, one sentence. It's almost like you have to take a deep breath to get all the way through it. And there's quite a bit there for us to chew on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. All of that's kind of the first part of your exhaled breath, kind of an identifier of who we're talking about. We're talking about Christ. If you look through these verses, 10 different times you find the phrase in Christ or in him, referring to Christ. The emphasis of the passage is clear. We're talking about what we have as a gift from God in Christ. And what we have in Christ is an inheritance. An inheritance of redemption. An inheritance, a gift that in its very act of being given to us in Christ, adopts us into the family of God. Ephesians is one of those places, like in Romans, where we're reminded we belong to God because of Christ. Before I left town, I had chosen the scripture and sermon title for this morning and left them with Kathy, entitling this morning's sermon, An Inheritance of Redemption. I really was thinking mainly about this text and that phrase and what it means for us to be redeemed in Christ. And then I drove home to Alamogordo, New Mexico, to face part of my inheritance. I have inherited a half share of a house built in the 1950s, occupied since 1971 by Tommy and Marilyn Dobson and their children. It is full of treasures. It is filled with little tiny trinkets and pins that touch memory, my inheritance, includes at this point a pile of stuff about this big that's going to go in a yard sale. And it includes a couple pickups full of old broken down stuff from the backyard that was rusted and falling apart that's already in the landfill. And my inheritance includes precious memories of love. Have you ever inherited something? Maybe you've inherited something wonderful and incredible. Maybe you've inherited something generous and great. And maybe you've inherited something that, well, you kind of wish somebody hadn't given to you. Part of the side of being an inheritor, a receiver, is that you're entrusted with some responsibility for that thing that has been handed on to you from a previous generation. So this house that my sister Debbie and I are sharing is precious to us because it's filled with wonderful memories of a great childhood. But we're trying to look at it objectively through eyes of a stranger. Eyes of, for example, the realtor who came by to walk through the house. And upon seeing a little crack in the living room, reassured my sister, oh, it doesn't look too bad. The house is settled a little. And Debbie said, yeah, that crack was there when we moved in. And the conversation continued until the realtor got to the back corner of the back bedroom where the crack is a little bit bigger and a whole lot longer. And my sister tells me the realtor said, oh, with that certain tone of voice that you never want to hear a realtor use, just, oh. And then she explained, well, I don't think you can just patch this crack and sell the house as is, even if you have a full disclaimer, there's been some settling. No, the realtor said, I really think you need to have an engineer come and assess this home. So before I got to Alamogordo, the engineer had come and did a walkthrough and had a tape measure and looked carefully at the foundation and the way the bricks had pulled away from the window and how big the crack was, and ended up deciding the minimum cost of the repair for that foundation. Well, it's going to be a big chunk of change. So part of our inheritance is fixing this house. There was a wonderful home that's no longer going to be home, that is going to be a house for somebody else, and we'd really love to just have somebody show up and say, hey, I watched those fix-it, flip-it movies on TV. I want to buy your house and pay to fix it. I'll take it as is. We would sign on the dotted line, but that's probably not going to happen. So we have become custodians and caretakers of this inheritance. An inheritance can be something physical and tangible. It can also come to you in different ways. Perhaps genetically, you've inherited something from your family tree. A predisposition to cancer or longevity, an inclination towards early graying or patterns of baldness. It's something you probably can't help too much. Congratulations, you inherited it, whether you wanted it or not. Maybe your inheritance includes a calm temperament that helps you to weather storms. Or maybe what you inherited was a quick temper that you have worked at learning to manage well. You see, that's the thing about something you inherit. You can choose to keep it or not. Debbie and I are choosing to keep the small gold pin with an emblem of an eagle and the number 30 on it, representing my dad's 30 years of service to the United States Air Force. We're choosing to give away the little green plastic pin with a picture of an alien on it that shows he attended a conference once in Roswell, New Mexico. That's in the yard sale pile. You see, you have to be discriminating about your inheritance. Just because someone gave it to you doesn't mean you have to keep it forever. Just because it was precious to them doesn't mean you have to hold on to it and be weighted down by it. At the same time, that inheritance may be such a precious gift, you can't even see it. And you walk away from it only later realizing what a gift that was. For some people, that is the inheritance that is offered in Christ. You see, God's love in Jesus is freely given to anyone in the world who will accept that inheritance, but it's not forced upon us. We have the choice to say, yes, I want Jesus to be in my heart, or to walk away and say, no thanks, I'm going to check out a yard sale down the street. I found something pretty and shiny I like better than your gift of eternal life. See ya later. The inheritance we have been given in Christ is the gift of redemption. It's an interesting word, one that we don't use much in our modern daily lives, aside perhaps from in church settings and theological circles. You have been redeemed in and through Jesus. I've been trying to think of ways that redemption might be a relevant term for us in this day and age, and I keep coming back to this stack of S&H green stamps at mom's countertop from, oh, probably the 1970s. She had one of those books, you know, you'd go to the grocery store and shop, and they'd ask if you were collecting stamps. You'd take your stamps and lick them and stick them in your book. And finally, if your page was full, you'd go to the redemption center, and you'd turn in your little book, and you'd get dishes or pots and pans or something that would be useful in your life. It was an exchange. Even today, we don't have redemption centers, but you can redeem coupons. You get something basically for nothing out of the newspaper, a little flimsy piece of paper. You take it to the grocery store, and you get money knocked off the price of your groceries. It's a free gift. When you redeem that small coupon, you turn in something and get something in return. Well, Jesus chooses to take our sin. If we turn it into him, if we let go of it, he will redeem it. He will exchange it for new life for us. So we become redeemed. We are made new in and through Christ, but only in as much as we're willing to let go of the past. One of the things my sister and I struggled with a lot over the past week was how much to let go of. My mother had a large dresser in their bedroom that had a mirror above, and for years, as long as I could remember, she would sit there to brush her hair or get ready for the day, and there were all these little boxes on the top of the dresser. And this one might have had safety pins in it, and that one had a ring, and those boxes, for me, are touchstones of memory. There was one little dish in particular that, as long as I could possibly remember, this little bowl had little china-colored flowers on it, pink and yellow and blue. It was kind of a pretty little dish, but as long as I could remember, it had been broken. There's a gift for me that my sister is 3 years older, just enough that she's a little bit wiser, and she knows a little bit more of the family lore. She said, oh yeah, that was a Mother's Day gift. She and my brother David picked it out at the dime store with her dad and gave it to mom. Well, it was kind of wrapped up by the kids, and before mom could unwrap it, little Debbie was so excited about mom getting a present, she wanted to shake the box to show mom there was something in it. And she shook the box, and mom opened it up to find this broken jumble of bits of china that dad glued back together, and one part of a rose was missing for as long as I could remember. I said to my sister, that story made me feel better. She kind of laughed and said, why? And I said, well, it's your fault the china bowl with the roses is broken. It's my fault there's a streak down the front of the dresser. That's where I spilled fingernail polish remover. It was a fun week going back through these memories and then deciding that there are some things we just need to let go of. It was so precious that mom, from one of her earliest mother days, saved that broken dish as a reminder of her children's love. But Debbie and I know we'll remember the love without keeping the little broken dish that no stranger would ever touch at any yard sale, we said farewell. There are times in our earthly journeys that we have encounters with our own brokenness that over time need to be released and let go in order that we can be redeemed, in order that our lives can be exchanged and made new. In Christ, God wants to take all your broken places, your chipped edges, your old memories that still tug at the heart and make them new so they are transformed with love and the sin is completely washed away. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, so that we, who set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption, as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. My friends, you and I have inherited the gift of redemption, of new life, of salvation, of forgiveness, and complete healing in Christ. Will we be stewards of that inheritance and share it with others and pass on the gift, not just to the next generation, but to the next person down the street, the next person you meet this week? We are all inheritors in and through Christ of God's grace. May we cherish that gift and steward it well. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is number 648, Some There Are Who Buy Their Living. The tune may not be super familiar to you, but I think the text is meaningful and relevant for this day. If there are any who are looking for a church home, who long to share the inheritance of Christ's love in community, you are welcome here. We would invite you to come forward as we stand and sing together 648. Thank you. began worship today by listening to some very peppy music from Vacation Bible School. That's going to play again in a moment. There'll even be words on the screen. If you want to sing along, you're welcome to. The VBS music will be part of our worship on the mountain at the end of the month. If you need a ride for that day, please let someone know so we can make sure you get up there. And if you haven't already signed up and you're going to worship on the mountain, put your name on the bulletin board so we order enough fried chicken for everyone that day. There's a time of refreshments waiting for us downstairs. I see Joan and the kids sneaking back in. Are they going to sing for us? Do we want to have everyone sit? No, they're just here. Okay, they're not ready yet. They're working on it. There's coffee and refreshments downstairs. I hope you'll stay for a moment to visit and enjoy some fellowship. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O good and gracious God, we give thanks for all that we have inherited, most especially redemption in Christ. This week, may we live as redeemed people, sharing your love with all we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.